And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with pharmacist Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com. Ben, Joseph sends in this email during the break. It says, I really need to lower my inocular eye pressure. Light lasers do not work. Ophthalmologists want me to use eye drops every day. What can I do to wean myself off these? I'm 60 years old, and glaucoma runs in my family.
How old did you say he was?
60.
Okay, so that's kind of young. And if glaucoma runs in his family, chances are they're all eating the same food because glaucoma is associated with blood sugar problems. So what I'd be doing if I was Joe is I'd be working on my blood sugar, and that will help him improve his longevity and reduce his risks of other health challenges. And that would be things like the sweeties from Youngevity, chromium, vanadium, like we talked about earlier, niacin, and selenium. Treat himself like a dysglycemic, even if he has not been diagnosed as a diabetic. Also, I don't know if you know this, George, but one of the really cool supplements for reducing intraocular eye pressure, which is what glaucoma is about, is THC. And that's one of the benefits of
marijuana.
Medical marijuana, exactly right. As far as specific nutrients, vitamins A, vitamin C, the antioxidants zeaxanthin and astaxanthin, you'll find all of these in the Ocutive.
How about lutein? Does lutein help?
Yeah, lutein. That's exactly right. That's another one. George, you know your stuff, man.
Oh, yeah. You and Doc have trained me.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. The Ocutive from Youngevity contains all of those, as well as the Vision FX. Those are a couple other things you might want to try. So between lowering your blood sugar, getting on the Ocutive and the Vision FX, and if he's up for it, medical marijuana, that might be helpful as well.
And you can have marijuana drops too, right?
You can have drops. That's exactly right.
Let's go to the phones. Mayette's with us in New York. Welcome. Hello, Mayette.
Yes, good morning. I think I'm a first-time caller to Ben, but I have a two-part question, and Ben, I'll listen over the air. A male friend of mine recently, he's a youngish baby boomer, about probably 5'8 and of average or moderate weight, and he shared with me that he's experienced some chronic low-grade fever. That had come up at the beginning, another type of fever you were talking about. But what would be your suggestions for his low-grade fever? And the other question concerns a woman friend, also very petite like me, and her hands have become very dry. Mm. She's tried to increase her protein because when she was a vegetarian, vegan back in the day, she noticed that the skin can get very dry. So what you recommend, she's using things like almond oil and cocoa butter, it's problematic because her hands are easily injured. And if you have my two questions...
Yeah.
I listen over the air. Thank you, George.
Well, and Ben's a skin expert, so take that one first, Ben.
Those are two interesting questions. First of all, low-grade fevers usually imply some kind of infection that's going on. It could also be associated with certain drugs. But I would guess there's either an infection or I didn't get a chance to ask her, but if the patient has any autoimmune problems, that can also cause low-grade fevers. But once again, if you've got some kind of bacterial infection going on or some toxicity going on, you got to backtrack that down to the digestive system, specifically the intestine. And I'd want to ask the patient if they had any bloating or any food allergies or any digestive discomfort, chronic constipation, any of those things. So I'd have to ask a little bit more. I'd have to ask the patient some questions in order to really give you a good answer for that. But I would be focusing on some kind of bacterial infection or if there's an autoimmune problem or some kind of a long-term inflammation that can also do it. As far as what was the second question, George?
Dry hands.
Dry hands. Yes. So, dry skin affects almost everybody, but dry skin should never happen because the skin contains natural moisture factors that absorb moisture from the air, and so human skin should never be dry. Yet, almost everybody has dry skin. The reason you have dry skin has nothing to do with topical products. And ironically, this is so funny, George, or interesting, moisturizers suppress the skin's natural moisture factors. So these natural moisture factors that are designed by nature to pull moisture in from ambient humidity are actually suppressed by the use of moisturizers, and this is why people get addicted to their moisturizing products. There's nothing topical that you could do to permanently change dry skin, which technically is called xerosis, but what you can do is you can make sure that you're supplementing with fatty acids, essential fatty acids. The ultimate EFAs are almost like a cure for dry skin. Now, if you have any digestive problems absorbing the ultimate EFAs, then you may want to get on some the ultimate enzymes or support your absorption at the level of the intestine because essential fatty acids are absorbed in the intestine. But using essential fatty acids is the remedy for dealing with dry skin. You might also want to throw in fatty vitamins, like specifically vitamins A and D and E, and then also the minerals zinc and selenium. Of course, you get the zinc from your zinc FX from Longevity and the ultimate selenium. Both of those can help with skin conditions as well.
Text and tweets. Tom, what do you have for Mr. Ben?
Ben from Janet in Santa Monica. What, in your opinion, is the best way to lose belly fat?
Visceral fat. The best thing you could do is reduce your insulin and your blood sugar, and that means going low carb. That's probably the best and fastest way to reduce belly fat. There are nutrients that you could use that will support sugar metabolism. So in addition to reducing your intake of carbs and sugars, you can also use the Sweeties from Longevity. And then probably one of the most underappreciated of all of the vitamins, especially when it comes to blood sugar control, is vitamin B1. You and I have talked about this before. Vitamin B1 or thiamine plays a very, very important role in helping the body process sugar. And the more sugar you eat, the more deficient you're going to be in this very important vitamin, whose deficiencies are associated, by the way, with peripheral neuropathies, nerve problems, cardiovascular health problems, mental health problems, and digestive problems, including chronic constipation. And the more processed food, the more sugar you eat, the more likely you're going to be deficient in this really important vitamin, which is actually the very first vitamin to be discovered, which is thiamine, vitamin B1. One of the reasons I love the Beyond Tangy Tangerine so much is because it's absolutely packed with the B vitamins, including vitamin B1.
Email in from Roberta. She has a CT arterial calcium score of 2,700.
Arterial calcium?
Yes.
Are you serious?
That is like 10 times more than you should.
Yeah, that's a serious problem. One of the best things you could do for calcification, and calcification is actually a leading cause of death, a couple things you could do. First of all, magnesium helps antagonize calcium, and that would be your OsteoMag or your OsteoFX, both of which are great sources of magnesium. Magnesium is a fabulously important mineral. I know you love magnesium. Super important for the cardiovascular system. Helps improve calcification. Vitamin D is also important. You'll get vitamin D, of course, from making sure you're getting out in the sun. You know, vitamin D deficiency is becoming somewhat common because we're all terrified of the sun and everybody's wearing sunscreen. So using vitamin D can help. And then one of the really misunderstood or non-understood vitamins is vitamin K. And vitamin K is also important for helping keep calcification at bay. Now, if there's any kind of inflammation or if there's any kind of wounding to the blood vessels, that can also increase calcification because the body kind of deposits calcium like a Band-Aid. So using connective tissue building strategies can also be helpful. Of course, the glucogel calcium Longevity are a great connective tissue building supplement. Collagen peptides may be helpful as well. And then if there's any issues with cholesterol, sometimes cholesterol and calcification go hand in hand, that also should be regarded as a blood sugar issue. Anybody who's dealing with high cholesterol, by the way, you want to regard that as a blood sugar issue, even if you have not been diagnosed as a diabetic, and that means getting on all the blood sugar control supplements, and including the healthy blood sugar pack from Longevity.
A toll-free number to call. There are the great assistants there taking notes. 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. Let's go to Roberta, not the one who just sent the email in, from Tucson, Arizona. Hi, Roberta.
Hi, George. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Roberta.
Hi. I don't know if you have any way to determine if there's lead in chocolate. So much of it has lead, and they list candy bars, but I don't eat candy bars because of the sugar. But I do like some organic foods that come with chocolate in them. And Do you know of any way I can find out if it's got lead in it?
You know, I don't know, but I can tell you that dark chocolate, which is kind of like a health food.
It is good for you.
Yeah, it's got some good things in it, but it also has lead and cadmium in it as well. So that is something that you might want to think about if you're a chocoholic, as they say. Although small amounts of dark chocolate definitely have some medicinal effects. I don't know if you know, this is a little off the topic here, but did you read about coffee for muscle building or for
I saw that.
Did you see that?
And I'm not a coffee guy.
I'm not a coffee guy either. You know, I've never had coffee actually in my whole life. But nonetheless, coffee, like chocolate, has some interesting health properties. But just recently, I was reading that coffee actually improves muscle function and specifically something called sarcopenia, which can affect folks as they get older. And turns out that there's a molecule in coffee which is similar to or derivative of niacin. It's found in coffee and also in the herb fenugreek. So that's what that study is about.
What do you think of all these microplastics they're beginning to find all over the place?
Yeah, it's a problem, especially in the oceans. Oh, my gosh. What we've done to the oceans, George, crazy. You know, have you heard about the dead zones in the ocean?
Oh, sure.
Oh, my God, it's horrible. Yeah, microplastics are a big problem. You know, we used to use them in skincare for little scrubby beads. We used to use microplastics as exfoliants. And now we've gone away from that because of the problems with microplastic toxicity. Yeah.
Let's go to Tom, west of the Rockies, truck driving in Redding, California. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. My question is also about glaucoma. Is it reversible? Is it curable? Is it only surgery?
Glaucoma, is it reversible, Doc?
Reversible. Is glaucoma reversible? Well, you can not necessarily know. You might be able to improve or decrease the further deterioration, but no, I don't think it's possible to reverse the damage once it's there.
What do ophthalmologists recommend for glaucoma? You can't have surgery, can you?
No, they give drops for it to reduce the intraocular pressure, typically. Glaucoma is basically a condition where you have this inflammation in the valves that reduce the pressure in the eye. You know, the eye can build up pressure, and there are little valves in the eyes that reduce the pressure. So that's what's supposed to happen, but over the course of time, especially if they become damaged by sugar, and this is why glaucoma and diabetes go hand in hand, or general inflammation, those valves break down, and there's no way to relieve the pressure. And that's really the cause of glaucoma. So there's not much you could do, although they give drops. There's no cure for any, but they do give drops to prevent further progression to help relieve the intraocular pressure to make sure it doesn't progress.
Have you ever had a glaucoma test?
Yeah, yeah.
I hate that pressure. They shoot
right,
at your
eye. They shoot
eye.
That little thing in your, they shoot that air in your eye.
Yeah, that's not fun. Let's go. Thanks, Tom. Hope that works for you. Al in Ohio, welcome to the program. Go ahead, Al.
Hey, George, how are you doing today?
Great.
I have two questions to ask, Ben. I am a mild diabetic, and I had high blood pressure. I had a stent put in my heart a couple years ago. And is it bad to take nitric oxide for too long to help lower the blood pressure?
What do you mean by nitric? You can't really take nitric oxide. What are you thinking of?
It's a nitric oxide booster tablet.
Yeah, no, not bad at all.
L-arginine does.
Yeah,
that.
You bet.
Yeah, I've been using that for about 2 weeks, and I've got mine without overnight. When I wake up in the morning, it's like 154 over like 80. But after taking one pill and my blood pressure pill, I've had as low as 119 to 136 over 77.
Good for you.
I just didn't know if it was bad to take it for.
Is it arginine that you're taking?
I think it has L-arginine in it. Yeah,
L-arginine is an absolutely fabulous amino acid for a lot of things.
Maybe
one of the best. Absolutely, George. It's critical for heart function, for growth hormone, for male sexual performance, for bodybuilders. I mean, it is. It's just an unbelievable amino acid. I personally take a lot of arginine. You'll find it in whey protein. It's in the Fit Shake if you want to do protein. And by the way, most people need more protein. And if you get a good source of protein like whey protein, which you'll find in the Fit Shake, you're going to get a good dose of arginine. But it wouldn't hurt you to take a nitric oxide booster. You could stay on that for the rest of your life for sure.
Nitric oxide does exactly what?
Nitric oxide is a vasodilator. It helps open up blood vessels. And that if you open up blood vessels, that means more oxygen. It also means more access to white blood cells and infectious material.
And lower blood pressure.
Absolutely, it lowers blood pressure. It's a vasodilator. Causes blood vessels to open up, to widen, to improve circulation. But it also allows white blood cells to have more access to areas that are infected. That's one of the reasons why the body will secrete nitric oxide. But basically, nitric oxide is a vasodilator. It's an extremely potent vasodilator, and that means it's going to be good for a lot of different things. It's anti-inflammatory, it'll lower blood pressure, as I say, male sexual performance. There's all kinds of cardiovascular health. There's all kinds of benefits for nitric oxide.
First-time caller John in Michigan, my own home state. Hey, John, go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi,
hey,
John.
Good morning.
I have a problem with kidney stones.
Oh, no.
I've had four surgeries, taking kidney stones out of my bladder, out of my kidney, and then out of my ureter twice.
Ouch.
And they got me on five different meds right now, and I'd like to come up. I'd like to stop taking the meds, but I don't know what else to take.
The formation of stones, whether they're kidney stones or tear stones or tear duct stones or gallbladder stones, gallstones, or you want to regard those as a sign of blood toxicity. That whole mechanism that we talked about earlier where toxins get into the bloodstream through the intestine, all of that has to do with saturation of the blood. And stone formation is secondary to saturation of the blood following this kind of toxicity. Now, it's no accident that diabetes is also associated with kidney stone problems. So you may also have a condition, elevated blood sugar, that houses a toxin in the blood. So between taking care of leaky gut, which we talked about earlier, that is changing the way you're eating in terms of problem foods, as well as using digestive support supplements. And Jeffy's got a great digestive support pack that you can use. You probably have noticed that you have some digestive health problems, whether it's gas or bloating or constipation.
What about a lot of water, Ben?
Water is definitely a good idea. In fact, water is one of the best things you could do for the kidneys in general. Not drinking enough water can also cause the blood to become concentrated. In fact, diabetics will notice that first thing in the morning, their blood sugar is high. If you drink a lot of water, you can dilute your blood sugar, and if you drink a lot of water, you can help dilute the blood if there's kind of toxicity or I call it dirty blood. Drinking a lot of water can help dilute the blood as well. But I would be treating myself as a diabetic, number one, if you're whether or not you've been diagnosed, and that would be the healthy blood sugar pack, and then I would also be dealing with any digestive health problems. And this is really important, George. When you have things like kidney stones, that's a symptom of a problem. That's not the problem. That's a sign of the problem. The cause of the problem is almost always going to be related to an intestinal issue, a blood sugar issue, as well as an adrenal thyroid issue. And those, I call those the triangle, those three points, the triangle of disease. Those are what underlie the symptoms like high intraocular pressure, like we were talking about earlier, or kidney stones. You got to work at the causal level, and the causal level is always going to involve the digestive system, the blood sugar system, and the adrenal thyroid complex.
And folks, don't go off your medicine until you talk to your doctor, please. We're going to come back in a moment with pharmacist Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com and take final calls. Set that record. Keep popping that website, criticalhealthnews.com. Ben, before we go to calls, Edwina writes, I'm too sick to call. She's got sepsis. That's dangerous stuff, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Is she in the hospital? Or?
It just says, I'm too sick to call. Edwina, I have sepsis.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, sepsis is a really serious condition. It's basically an infection in the blood. Should be hospitalized, I would think, if she really has sepsis. That could lead to organ failure and all kinds of...
Isn't that what killed Bobby Darin? The singer?
I know the singer. No, I don't know what killed Bobby Darin. But no, sepsis is a serious problem. That can lead to shock and...
It's an infection, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's an infection in the blood and can trigger inflammation.
Yeah, that's what killed him. 37 years old.
Yeah, that's a serious thing. That's 37 years old is when he died?
Yep, that's it.
Oh, my God.
He had a rheumatic fever when he was a kid. He had heart problems. He was going in for heart valve replacements, and this is back, gosh, in the 60s or 70s. They weren't that good at the time. But he went to the dentist and apparently got an infection in his heart valve and came down with sepsis.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that could be a life-threatening emergency. In a hospital, though, they can take care of that with antibiotics and IV fluids. I'm wondering why she's not in the hospital.
He was in the hospital.
The gal.
Oh, this one.
Yeah.
Well, Edwina, you might want to go to ER.
Yeah.
Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello there, Mr. White.
Hey, George, I feel sorry for that Miss Edwina. I hope she gets to the hospital, because that stuff's just a bad thing. That's what took out Jack Van Impey.
That's right.
But, Pharmacist Fuchs, this is my first time calling with you. My situation was, and George and Tommy in the audience knows, I had 1,000 sugar in 2021 after my dad died of COVID in 2020. And
we forced him to go to the hospital, Ben.
Yeah.
Wow.
That night, George told me if I didn't go, he was going to kill me. So I went to the hospital and everything, and they said, oh, you got to take insulin for the rest of your life. There's no way. But because I eat right now, I was drinking just sweet lemonade and sweet tea, no water. But I eat right now. But my problem now, and those races on Reddit, I got to tell them that they don't know anything. I hadn't been able to change my socks or shoes or my pants for a year. So I'm still stuck in that. But I was able to get my feet washed February the 1st of this year. So it had been almost a month since I had that done. And the doc I have now, I call the last doc No Mercy or Murdering Me Doc. But this new one, she really is, she gave me an x-ray. She said my hips are so messed up, she wants me to have hip surgery, but I'm not going to have it. I've been through the military and all that low crawling and stuff. I think that's what's really messed me up. But I know you heard of Celine Dion. She has this stiffness disease.
Yeah.
And I believe I have that. So I don't know if you or Doc Wallach can do anything for me, Pharmacist Fuchs. And please pray for me. Got a city council meeting tomorrow. They may lock me up. So just pray for me, George, and the audience.
Don't lose your cool. Don't lose your cool tomorrow.
Well, you got to be able to ask questions, George. You just can't tell somebody, shut up.
Don't call them cowards now.
Don't call them cowards. There you go, George.
See, I watch your videos. Go ahead, Ben.
I didn't quite understand what he was saying about his feet, about being able to bend down. Is it because of his hips, or did you understand
He can't bend.
He can't bend down. Does he have the stiff person syndrome like Celine Dion?
He may.
Okay, so if he has that stiff person syndrome, that again is a symptom. This is what we were talking about before we went to break, is that a lot of the times we have these symptoms and we treat them as if they were the problem, and there's not much you could do for a symptom any more than you can take care of a rotten fruit on a tree without taking care of the soil. You can't fix the fruit. Once it's rotten, you got to go to the soil and you got to go to the root. And that's why the digestive system and the blood sugar system and then the adrenal thyroid complex are so darn important. I don't know Celine Dion, but I can guarantee you that if she's got stiff person syndrome, she's dealing with some kind of intestinal health problem. There's probably some blood sugar issues involved too, but the first thing you got to focus on is the toxicity that gets into the bloodstream through the intestine, through leaky gut or intestinal permeability. This leads to all chronic health challenges. Stiff person syndrome is a fibrosis that occurs, and this is one of the things that happens over the course of time as toxicity builds up in the blood. And all health challenges involve some degree of fibrosis. Even aging and death itself involve fibrosis as well. So you got to focus on the source of the toxicity, which is leaky gut, and that means all the digestive health challenges. And, George, this is so simple, it's heartbreaking to see people dealing with Parkinson's disease and neurological issues and stiff person syndrome and calcification and cardiovascular health challenges when the root of everything is the digestive tract, which means it's our food choices and our lack of key nutritional supplements that can help support intestinal health. get on the Healthy Digestive Pack. Anybody who's dealing with fibrosis or stiff person syndrome or blood sugar issues or any inflammatory health challenges, get on the healthy Digestive Pack as soon as you can. Make sure you're doing a food diary and eliminating problem foods as well.
Let's go to Madonna in New York. Welcome to the program. You're not the singer, though, are you?
No.
Oh, well.
How are you, George? Ben, I was a pharmacy tech for 6 years.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You are amazing.
Thank you.
The way you articulate, God bless you. I really mean it.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
Yes. Okay, I have hyperparathyroidism. It's 9 years now. The medicine they gave me made me very nauseous, very bad. I'm doing everything holistic, Chase Tree, vitamin K, thyroid boost, which is, I think, because I don't use salt, I'm constantly researching iodine.
Hmm.
But the iodine level, when I look up certain things, what is a good, healthy iodine level? I don't want to take too less or
too much.
Yeah, you probably need more iodine than you think. Most people,
okay.
Most people are getting iodine from iodized salt, which is enough to keep you from getting a goiter or a thyroid problem. But it's not enough to give you iodine for your breasts and for your parathyroid and for your adrenal glands and for all of the glands in the body depend on iodine. So iodine deficiency is probably a lot more common than people think, because the way we assess iodine and iodine deficiency is by goiter. Which doesn't happen anymore, because all you need is a little bit of iodine and not have a goiter. You know what I'm talking about, George, with a goiter, the
yep.
big swollen thing that people used to get on their neck. Once they put iodine, in salt, that went away. But people still probably are dealing with iodine deficiencies. And iodine, by the way, is especially important for female health issues. You might want to consider a supplement called Iodorol, which is a really good source of iodine. And you probably need a lot more iodine than you think. I would err on the side of a little extra rather than under.
Tom's got a final text and tweet for you, Ben. What do you have, Thomas?
Hey, Ben, Jeff in Costa Mesa would like to know if you think it's healthy to drink hot water in the morning.
Yeah. Well, water in general in the morning is awesome.
Lukewarm is better.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what you mean by hot, but like boiling hot or like coffee hot. It doesn't really matter necessarily the temperature, although in the morning cold water will give you a little energy. Warm water is a little bit more relaxing, so depending on what you want, first thing in the morning, if you want to be relaxed or you want to have a little energy. But water in general is amazing first thing in the morning. In fact, water is so energizing first thing in the morning that a lot of times you won't even want coffee, because the dilution of the blood will lead to more blood circulation to your brain and give you more clarity of thought and give you a sense of energy just drinking water. I found for myself, drinking 3 glasses of water first thing in the morning are amazing for helping me wake up without any caffeine or coffee.
Let's go to David in Oregon. Welcome to the show. Hey, Dave, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing there?
Hey,
Mr. Wallach, I work out like every other day. If I'm not on my treadmill, I'm on my resistance machine. And I heard you talking about whey protein. I take whey protein, and I eat yogurt because it has good bacteria in it. And but I hear a lot about vitamin B12 and D3. What is your take?
Did you
on
say
that?
B3 or D3?
Oh, D as in David.
D as in David. Yeah. Vitamin D is really important, but the best way to get your vitamin D is from the sun. The vitamin D that's
created. And how long do you need to be out?
10 to 15 minutes.
That's all?
Yeah, that's all you need. 10 to 15 minutes every day or 5 or 6 days a week, but in strong sun. You don't want to burn. You definitely don't want to burn. You want to be careful of that. So if you're, most people can handle 10 or 15 minutes of sun, strong sun, and as much skin contacting the sun, the rays of the sun as possible. So in your bathing suit or in your shorts or something like that, it's not enough just to get it on your arms. And then whey protein is unspeakably valuable. Now, some folks who have lactose intolerance may not be able to handle whey, but whey protein contains all of the immune factors that the mama cow passes on to the baby cow. And those immune factors, things like lactoferrin, for example, are so powerful for building the immune system that actually lactoferrin is part of the COVID protocol. Whey protein is also a source of building amino acids and nutrients, the aforementioned glutamine that we talked about earlier for sugar cravings. It is just, it's hard to really express how valuable a protein whey protein is. It's incredibly bioavailable, and it's especially important not only for folks who are exercising, definitely the best protein going for folks who are exercising, but for older people who are frail. Whey protein has an incredibly valuable building effect. As I say, it's designed to turn a baby cow into an adult cow. So whey protein it's hard to really express how valuable protein is, and you don't have to be an athlete to benefit from it, although it is the athlete's choice for protein value. I recommend it for older folks who are experiencing frailty or perhaps sarcopenia or muscle weakness.
Let's get a quick call out of Dennis in Rhode Island. Welcome to the show. Go ahead, Denny.
Hey, how you doing, Ben? Hello, hey. George. Love your show. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
My father just passed away in February, and it runs in our family, fatty liver disease.
Hmm.
And we're always warned all the time by all our doctors, you know, watch what you eat. And my dad passed away from cirrhosis. He never was a drinker at all.
Hmm.
But the doctors insist on that it was all the food he ate. Ben made a comment about most people take like five different medications all the time. And every one of my medications that I'm on, it's all got liver warnings.
It's all got liver warnings?
Yeah, all of them. Whether it's the cholesterol or the high blood pressure or the liver disease or any medicine that we take, it all got liver warnings on it.
Because the liver bears the brunt of the toxicity. The liver is your detox organ. So all toxicity has to be processed through the liver. And so, yes, indeed, liver toxicity is associated with prescription drugs or really any kinds of drugs.
Well, the acetaminophen.
Yes, absolutely. A Tylenol poisoning. You know, one of the all-time great supplements for dealing with liver toxicity is something called NAC, or N-acetylcysteine. And Jeffy's got a couple of really neat products with N-acetylcysteine. It's so important. It's actually used in emergency rooms for liver poisoning. Also, whey protein, aforementioned whey protein that we just talked about, also has sulfur amino acids, which can be very important for improving detoxification. Likewise, MSM sulfur can be important for liver detox. And then keeping your blood sugar stable, metabolic syndrome, which is associated with messed up blood sugar, dysglycemia, is the leading cause of fatty liver disease. And by the way, fatty liver disease is an epidemic in this country. They call it non-alcoholic fatty liver disease because it used to be the kind of fatty liver disease that only alcoholics would have. Now we have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, or NAFLD, and it affects a third of Americans. 100 million Americans are dealing with it, largely because of messed up blood sugar from the way we eat.
Ben, my friend, we'll talk to you in 6 weeks.
God bless you. Nice to talk to you again, George.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com. And again, that toll-free number to call for assistance if you missed anything that he said tonight. They've been taking notes all night long. 1-855-945-7234. 1-855-949-RADIO. And don't forget, set a record by hitting that website, criticalhealthnews.com. Up next, Conversations with Thoth. I'm looking forward to this.